So I stop in a local bar, you know, people. I go to the bar. I rent my coat. I call a bartender. I say, look, man, come down here. He got down there. So what you want? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Yeah, you know what that means. That's right. It's breaking duddy time.
But
something's different, though. What is it, Kyle?
I don't know. I think we got somebody else here.
Zach Brown. Zach Brown's here.
Zach, what is that?
It's cold outside, boy.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried.
You get the idea. It's a mashup.
It's a mashup, everybody.
I like chicken fried steak. It's good.
And mash.
And mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes. I like
chicken fried steak. Do you like that better than fried chicken? Or is it?
No, because chicken fried steak is actually like a pounded out like beef filet thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like them both. I have to be honest. They're,
I know.
They're both good.
Well, if you had to choose one.
For the rest of your
for
life.
For the rest of your life on a dessert. Kyle hates hypotheticals.
Well, because they're not real.
Well, that's the fun of it, though.
I would probably choose fried chicken.
Oh.
Because I don't eat a lot of beef. So
I would, too. I think fried chicken.
What about you, Sarah?
I would choose the steak.
The chicken fried steak.
Would you?
Yeah.
But see, the thing...
I don't even like it that much.
With fried chicken, you can do so much more. Like, if you didn't want the fried part of it, you can just rip that off and eat the chicken. It's healthier. With the fried beef thing, you can't really do much because it's caked all on there.
Yeah.
And you pull it off. So I think you better...
Speak for yourself.
The more you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, guys, welcome to another amazing episode of Fried and Brinkadutty's
Mashup.
Fried
Brinkadutty's.
Yeah. You got the one Kyle Shea Donkey Davis over here.
What's
on
cracking,
one
everybody?
Recliner. You've got the beautiful Sarah Tiana on the other recliner.
So hot.
Wow.
I got to take a picture of this. I like this. Usually I'm in one of these captain chairs
I
over
know.
Here, but I feel like I'm interviewing
We're
you
We're sitting
two.
In John's chairs tonight.
Usually I'm wearing a cat shirt.
That's
but
right.
Kyle's wearing it tonight.
Well, you should tell Kyle about your cat bandanas, or have you already... I can't remember what we talked about last time.
I don't know
time.
If we talked about having
Oh, my God. I love your shoes, by the way.
And dog bow ties.
Those are cute.
My shoes have parrots on them.
Oh, I thought they were penguins.
Nope. They're parrots. They're
All
very
up, well,
colorful parrots.
Those are
oh,
cute.
Oh, wow. Is this, are you a Jimmy Buffett fan?
No.
Well, he's, you know, he has
they're
parrot
heads. Parrot
heads, yeah.
You're right.
Do you like
You're
parrots?
Right. No.
I like parrots.
I like tropical. I just thought they looked tropical.
All right.
They're
I
awesome.
Like a nautical look.
There you go. I like it. So back to the cat bandanas. So what's going on with those?
Sticking with the nautical theme.
Yeah.
Sticking with things that love water. My mom makes cat bandanas and dog bow ties. It started as just cat bandanas, but then I got a dog, so we expanded the business.
Is this like an Etsy thing or something?
I think we have a store on Etsy. You can really just get it on catbandana.com, which is, you can link through my website.
Wow.
You know, or on Instagram. But yeah, my mom makes them all by hand, and then I sell them at my shows.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
And bow ties, right?
And dog bow ties.
Yeah, she gave me a Carolina Panther dog bow tie.
Yeah, I did.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's all.
Can my dog wear it?
Sure.
Well, pit bull.
Maybe if you ask Sarah for one, she'll be nice and get you one.
Sarah.
What can't have mine. Your dog like?
Well, I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, so in return she is as well.
Okay.
Right.
I think we have Packers ones. If not, they're about to come in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
No, because those sell everywhere. There's Packers fans everywhere.
I know. There's a lot of Packers fans
like
in L.A.
Steelers fans everywhere.
Steelers, and then what's the other one? The Broncos.
Cowboys.
Fans
Cowboys are everywhere.
Cowboys, well, Cowboys are like the America's team.
Well, that's
no,
why
they're not.
Everywhere.
They are. I'm not a fan. Eat. I'm just telling you, that's what their slogan is, the America's team.
Oh, well, she knows
but
everything
that's why you're
going to
you're gonna be called America's team if that's your slogan. That's a pretty easy way to be called America's team.
I think it's because they had such a good team for a long time. That's why everybody's like, loves the Yankees. I fucking hate them. But
they were nationally syndicated too, though, right? Weren't they always on TV? So
Cowboys?
Was like, yeah, that
probably.
Was like, kind of how like
right.
The Cubs were always on WGN and the Braves on TBS. So there's like Braves and Cubs fans everywhere.
Yeah, are they still on those channels?
No. Well, the Cubs might be on WGN, but the Braves aren't on TBS anymore. No.
John, you're blowing up over
which
here.
Which is a big bummer because when I moved to LA, that was like the best part.
Yeah.
Like, I could still watch the Braves every day.
I know. And I think we talked about this last time, maybe. I have a short-term memory as well. But I'm a huge Braves fan as well, besides my Dodgers. So
yeah,
love me some Chipper Jones. I got to go to Chipper Jones like last game or one of them when he was in L.A. Oh. And he hit a home run.
Yeah,
so
I was there too.
Badass.
Yeah, I was there. He was hitting. Actually, it was the year before that he was hitting like 370 that year.
Yeah.
And then I wonder if you guys were at the same game at the same time.
Well, I'm sure we were.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
Well, John, we're diehard Dodgers fans. We've been at the same game several times when she was there with her boyfriend.
I'm talking about the Atlanta game. Chipper Jones hit the last.
No, we probably were there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I remember where I was at Chipper's last game. I was at the Vortex because I was doing Laughing Skull that weekend.
Uh-huh.
And the Braves were in the playoffs. That was the game where everybody threw everything on the field.
This was at Brave State or the?
That was in Turner Field in Atlanta. And there was that bad call. They call it an infield fly rule. And it was like an out or something like that. And so everybody, all the fans threw shit on the field. And everyone's like, well, it's so classless. And I was like, what? Finally, Atlanta fans are like acting like crazy fans.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Like our fans never do anything crazy anymore. They barely even show up. So to see everybody throw shit on the field, I was like, hell yeah.
Do it.
But it was also Chipper's last game, you know, and I was like crying because his last at bat, you know.
So I wasn't at the last game. I was at one because they play the Dodgers quite a bit. And they played the Dodgers towards the end of the season, so I went and saw that.
Okay.
But Chipper, I was sitting. I normally sit behind the dugout on the visiting side, but this time I was sitting because the tickets were super expensive. I was sitting in the out right by the foul pole.
Oh,
and
that's funny. I sit out there too because I sit near the bullpen.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But the home run he hit came within
three
rows of me. It was so crazy.
The whole time.
Familiar.
Yes. I thought I saw you on the jumbotron.
6 years ago, see you at the Braves game by the foul pole at Dodger Stadium?
You did. I thought I saw you there.
Oh,
she was so cute.
Look
I couldn't take my eyes off her. She was on the jumbotron and I was like, oh my God, I need to meet
Sarah.
Her.
I haven't ever been on the jumbotron. I got on the Kiss Cam at the Garth Brooks concert and I thought that was like the coolest thing ever.
Did you make out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was with my boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would have made out with a stranger if I was on a Kiss Cam. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it's you'd have to if there's a Kiss Cam involved. It's a lot of peer pressure.
Have you been on a Kiss Cam?
No. I would do it, though. I mean, I'd kiss whoever's next to me.
I'd make out with you, buddy.
Yeah.
I know you would.
Have you been
do that without a Kiss Cam.
Yeah.
Have you been on the Jumbotron before?
Yes, I have.
Willingly or for good reason?
When I got kicked out of the Carolina Panthers for dancing in the end zone.
Oh.
Back in 1996. When they play their home games in Clemson. There's a video of this. I've talked about this.
Is there? The Panthers were there in 96?
I wasn't even born yet.
When were you born?
97.
Yeah, they came out. They joined the NFL in 1995, 96.
So their first year that they were around, you got kicked out of the stadium?
I sure did.
Nice.
Fancy.
I was dancing in the stands with my friends. Every time out, they'd play music, and that got bigger and bigger. So now I'm dancing on the whole rows looking at me, whole sections turning around. Third quarter, I get on the grass hill behind the goalpost because they play their home games in Clemson before they had their stadium built in Charlotte.
Okay.
And so I'm dancing up a storm on this grass hill, and the Panther, the mascot, Sir Purr, sees me dancing, decides to wave me out there to dance with him, and then I jumped over the fence. Basically, I was thrown over the fence by my friends. Start break dancing. I'm on the jumbotron crowd. I'm doing the worm on the 5-yard line, and then they start booing. I'm like, wow, they don't like the worm, but they're not booing me. They're booing the cops.
Yeah, because they're running after you.
Because they didn't see Sir Purr's invitation. See, they're facing the crowd. They're not looking at the field. Cause look at the crowd for like, you know, misbehaving people or whatever. So anyway. That's when we found out that Sir Purr did not have the authority to invite people onto the field.
Yeah, yeah. He's just the mascot for crying out loud.
He's just some idiot in a stupid costume.
Not a powerful.
So, yeah, and that's a YouTube video. You could Google that.
It's funny as shit.
Yeah, you've seen it.
Somebody started posting all these like photos of mascots during the like moment of silence.
Right. Oh, God. Did they really?
For what?
Just for anything at any game.
And what
do
they do?
They're just standing there, you know, but
they can't shut their eyes.
They can't, yeah, their faces don't change, so they just have these giant grins on their
faces.
That's
funny. Do they just look at the ground?
Yeah, but I guess they're just like smiling at the ground, you know?
That's
like,
funny.
Like, that's hilarious. I remember when I got kicked out, Sir Purr ran over to defend me.
Uh-huh.
And it's a happy, smiling panther with these big eyes. And I you know, the face doesn't change, but under the mask, I heard, "Let that motherfucker go. I told his ass to come out here." Like, it's like, I'm like, "Sir Purr, language, there are children here."
Kitty.
I apologize, my cord is draped over you.
Yeah, I was trying to get comfortable.
It's like a little seatbelt.
Okay, there you go. Wait, before we go on, I have a jumbo thing.
Okay.
Jumbotron.
Yeah.
At the, I always wanted to be on one, never got on one, and then...
You bought one.
No, I wish. But I did a commercial for the for MLB.
Oh, that's right.
And it just happens that I happen to be a Dodger fan, so I was this guy, they would hit the ball to me, and I caught it, and then I was like cheering, and then it was from the opposite team, though, so everybody's like, throw it back.
No.
And I'm on the Jumbotron wearing my Dodgers uniform and throwing it back into the field.
Yeah, I
was actually
that.
Really fun.
I remember seeing that commercial.
Yeah, the commercial ran for like 3 years. And the thing that was sucked about that was it was a promo, so they paid you $300. But I didn't even care about it because I was such a diehard Dodgers fan. I was like, I'll do it because I want to be on there. And so I took all these pictures of me on the Jumbotron. And
nice.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, that's a good one to have.
I would totally keep the ball, though.
John, I wanted to say this because last mashup we didn't do this. So... all of our Brink and Duddies fans. This is Sarah Tiana, and why don't you just give us a little bit of a rundown of who you are, what you do, where you're from, because we never did that last time.
Yeah, that's true. Did that?
We're introducing you to our Brink and Duddy people.
Oh.
We tried to do it last time, and we were about to say something, and then we got off on another tangent and never said anything.
That's what happens.
Well, my name's Sarah Tiana. I'm from Calhoun, Georgia. You probably heard of it. We have a Nike outlet.
this is an intervention.
I do stand up. And I have a podcast with John Reap called Fried.
That's right.
John and I were both on the Brad Paisley special on Netflix together.
Yes.
And we opened at the Hollywood Bowl for Brad Paisley together.
We're hilarious.
We've known each other for a long time.
Nice.
Yep.
But this is like our first year of like really
becoming
better friends.
It's, I thank Al Madrigal for that. He's just like, I called him up. I was like, I want to start another podcast. He's like, how about you and Sarah?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's perfect.
Is it because you guys got the same accent?
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like our thing says just two Southern
fried
comedians trying to make it in Southern California. Ye fucking hall.
Anyway, they know how. So, yeah. So, me and John are both, Southern folk who do Southern things. And that's how we know each other, just from stand-up.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, when did you move out to L.A.?
2001
from
January,
Calgary.
From Georgia, from Atlanta, because I was working in
And
Atlanta.
We heard the story last time how you got that. I love that. Yes.
But you didn't know she also was a DJ, a wedding DJ. I found that out today.
Oh, so you're just like that DJ Khaled green?
She actually does stuff.
No, I do stuff. I know how to actually set up the equipment.
Oh, okay. That guy doesn't DJ. He just says, come on, DJ Khaled Green. I got a kid.
And he just points at the crowd and says his name.
Says his name. It is so frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to DJ weddings and bar mitzvahs and, high school dances
and
stuff.
That sounds like fun.
And that's how I got into stand-up.
Yeah. So you were like hosting, you'd say a couple of jokes here and there to the crowd?
No, actually the people that I was DJing with kept telling me how funny I was. I never heard I was funny till I moved to LA.
Oh.
I just thought, I didn't realize my life was any different.
Right.
I thought, everybody has a daycare center in their high school. Like, I didn't know that my life was like any different. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Daycare center in your high school. That is pretty classic.
John and I were talking about weddings on our podcast a little bit ago, and it was like, I didn't really get to go to a lot of weddings growing up because most of my friends got married right out of high school or in high, and I was like working at Six Flags. I was working and in college and I couldn't go home.
Married with babies pretty quick.
Well, let me tell you something. You probably didn't miss out much because those weddings back then were like, hey, why don't y'all come over to my backyard? We're going to throw on a couple of pigs and have ourselves some naughty ice and it'll be a fun time.
Well, fake flowers at weddings were
although, to be honest with you, that actually sounds like a lot of fun.
As you're saying that, I'm going
that sounds like the kind of wedding I would love to have now. But the fake flowers always made me laugh at weddings. Or the ones that are in like the church basement, that's where the reception is.
They're all dusty as fuck. Oh. Bringing them up.
Yeah, my sister had a dry wedding. That was really hard. I almost didn't go.
Dry wedding means no alcohol, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Gross.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
You actually have to like speak to people.
Why?
Was that because it was at the church? I mean,
yeah, it was just more of a really his family.
My brother's was that way. His first marriage.
By the second one, you're like, eh. Well, we're already divorced, so
the second one, they've just drunk the whole time. No.
Well, he drank probably through his whole marriage, and that's why he has a second one. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
He got married the first time. It was like what your sister's was. It was very, very like just Baptists don't drink. So yeah, Catholics
in public.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, they say like if you go fishing with a Baptist, he brings a 6-pack of soda. If he goes by himself, he brings a 6-pack of beer.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever catch that hummingbird in your apartment?
What?
Yeah, there was a hummingbird stuck in my house.
I remember that. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
How'd that get in there?
So I was...
You got to check out this video on her page.
My door was just open to my house because I was riding with my friend Patrick. He's my riding partner. It was early in the morning because we ride from like 7 a.m. to 9 before he goes to work.
Okay.
And so my door's open so that my dog can sit on the front porch and bark at the neighborhood. And I thought it was a horse fly that flew into my house.
That's a big ass horse fly,
yeah.
Sarah.
And then Patrick was like, "Oh my God, there's a hummingbird." And I was like, "What? No." And then, you know, it stops. And then you're like, "Oh my God, that." And my dog's going crazy because my dog's biggest nemesis are flies. He loves catching, like, he gets so mad at flies.
Yeah.
Like, just constantly like jumping up
trying to
grab
bite them in the air.
Yeah, and he catch them. He catches them all the time.
That's funny.
So he's going nuts. So I'm like, what do we do? And I'm trying to like guide it out, and it's not doing anything but flying the opposite way. So I close all the doors in my house, and then we YouTube videoed how do you get a hummingbird out of your
house. Was there an actual fucking?
Yes, there were several.
That's hilarious.
And so what you have to do is like corner it with a rake or a broom.
Okay.
And then it'll tire itself out, and it'll land on the broom. We had a Swiffer, so it landed on the Swiffer, and then we just carried it outside on that.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Have you seen this video of the owl?
No.
I have. God, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You just said the owl and you were like, I have seen it.
Because
like,
it's legendary.
There's only one video of an owl?
Yeah. No, there's a lot of, but I know exactly which one he's talking about because somebody just recently posted it.
It lands on a Swiffer.
Yeah. And then it just.
Look what you did.
If you watch it and then the owl is, the eyes are crazy and it's like going like this.
Okay, so there's an owl.
You can't really see it, but.
So an owl flies
people
in someone's.
People listening to this are like, "Oh, I see what you mean."
Yeah.
Owl flies in someone. An owl flies in someone's house, like with the hummingbird, and the person's freaking out. They're videotaping it, and they're like, and the owl's just like, they have these intense eyes, so they put the Swiffer right up on it, and it just sits on it, and now he's slowly trying to go out the window with it, and the owl the whole time is just like.
Staring him down.
Yeah, like,
straight.
Come on, me, bro.
Yeah, but and then the guy was like, please don't do anything to me. Just, please don't just stop right there. Don't do it.
Please don't peck my eyes out.
Yeah. So when I saw that, I thought of that video. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, so I immediately filled the hummingbird food because I was like, well, clearly this was a message to me.
Right, yeah. And on the owl one, but so they ended up just shooting it and eating it.
He's a Hooters right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard those hummingbirds have quite a lot of meat on them.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
they eat a lot
delicious.
Of those.
Yeah, and little chicken wings.
Yeah, he finally stopped
I'm joking.
Flapping.
I would never kill anything unless I was hungry.
Kyle, have you ever hunted?
No. You know, if you know me, I can't stand hunting. And I do eat a lot of vegetarian food.
Yeah, Kyle's wife's a vegetarian. And Sarah's trying to be vegetarian.
Nah, forget it.
Have you given up already?
I pretty much have given up because I just constantly cheat.
Yeah. It's okay to eat. Like, I'm not a full vegetarian. I still eat stuff. But I eat a lot more fruits and vegetables than I do meat.
It's definitely my main goal is to just, like, eat a lot of fruits and vegetables.
Did you ever hunt growing up?
No.
See?
My dad did, and my sister does, and my brother-in-law does. And, I went with my dad once when I was little, and he never let me go back because I made too much noise and asked too many questions.
But would you?
He'd be like, be quiet. And I'm like, these leaves are loud. Like, I can't just, like, walk quietly. Yeah,
do you remember if he killed anything while you were there?
No, he definitely didn't kill anything. I mean, he basically didn't kill anything through my entire life. I think he killed one deer.
Oh, okay.
And it's been hanging in my sister's house for 10 years, and I I make them take it down when I come in there.
Well, see, that's, it's sad.
Yeah.
I just, people always, and the hunters always try to say, well, you know what? You buy the meat in the goddamn store. I'm like, yeah, but if I had to actually kill that thing, I wouldn't eat the meat. So I understand like what you're saying.
But since you've already killed it, go ahead and have it.
And they're like, yeah, but there's so many deer out there. They're overpopulated. They're eating all our flowers and the thing. I'm like, well, put up a fucking fence. Why do you need to kill the deer? I don't get it.
Yeah,
but,
you know,
what was it? These big game hunters in Africa?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just terrible.
There's like all these.
There's no reason to do that.
Elephant meat. How often do you eat elephant meat?
And then they always say, well, no, the villagers want us to do it, and then they give all the meat to them. And
right.
It's like,
sure, yeah.
Yeah, really? Yeah, right. Yeah. You fucking probably gut it out and then feed it to the animals that are out and about in the wilderness, and then you haul it off to California or whatever. And
what's the one thing that you could not give up because of the vegetarian? Like, what was it that you cheated the most?
What's hard is cheese.
Cheese.
Well,
that's
really vegan hard. Though.
No.
Yeah, I was going vegan.
Right. She was.
Oh, you were
going
vegan.
Yeah.
But like, cheese and eggs. Like, eggs are in everything.
Yeah.
And that's so hard.
Yeah. Fuck that. I can't.
Yeah. So
it's in mayonnaise. You have to give up mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, vegan mayonnaise actually tastes better than regular mayonnaise.
I was about to say that.
Also, vegan butter is really good.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that are vegan.
Vegan cheese
good.
Is good, too.
I just don't want to have to make it myself.
Yeah, I actually have tried to cut. I actually buy this like fermented cashew cheese that tastes just like cream cheese.
Really?
I mean, it has the same consistency and everything. Like, you would not be able to tell the difference.
Is that like Trader Joe's or something?
No, you have to get it at the farmer's market. But it comes whipped and in different flavors, and it's great. And
it sounds
melts,
really good.
Which is hard, you know? It's really come a long way, vegan stuff. But like, the biggest problem for me was that I felt like I was eating less healthy because when it came to snacks, I was eating a lot of things out of boxes and bags.
Right.
And those are just full of processed food. And so I was like, forget it, you know? So I try to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables during the week, and then I eat a little bit more meat on the weekends.
I always thought that was funny, John, that like when you see people who are vegan or vegetarian, a lot of times they're not all of them, but a lot of them seem to be overweight
a little bit.
And I'm always like, I'm like,
true.
If you're eating so healthy or whatever, why do you weigh more than I do when I'm eating regular stuff? And it's because
French fries.
They can't eat anything, but like, there's a lot of carbs involved.
Lots of carbs.
Oh, yeah,
like
because
that.
Everything's made of beans.
Yeah,
and so beans are like all carbs, and so are nuts.
Yeah,
nuts are huge in carbs. Even though they're full of protein, they still have carbs. So it's like, everything is made into that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear about those tacos
because now I'd be starving.
Nobody wants to hear
I
about
I still am hungry. But
diets.
So on this thing we just did, a little Kevin Ramos, we did a taco trial. So I stopped it before I came over. I stopped at Del Taco, Taco Bell, and Jack in the Box and got tacos. And we did it. Can you hear me, John?
No, I'm worried about it. We shut that door. I don't want neighbors to come over here.
Now?
Yeah. will you shut the
Idiot.
Door? No, I saw someone walking around out there. So I have a neighbor named Wally.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting guy. I'm a fan. He does voiceovers, a lot of voiceovers.
Yeah.
You've probably heard him. You fly American Airlines?
No. I fly Delta.
He does the voice of American Airlines, like, please fasten your seatbelt.
Oh.
Yeah, he does that. And he used to be the guy that goes like, tonight on the Jay Leno show. He was the announcer.
That's neat.
But he's done everything. Yeah. Anyway, he's always out here with his dog.
He's got a collie.
Yes, it's the third or fourth descendant of Lassie. He'll talk your head off about it.
Oh, geez.
Good guy, but he comes out here with his dog all the time, and he has a flashlight on his head.
Yeah, he does have a flashlight on his head. That is.
Well, that's so he can see the dog poop.
He's a miner.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's mining for dog shit.
When I first moved here, before I had these shutters put in, there was nothing there. There's no curtain, nothing, right? So I was like, no furniture yet, just kind of in here looking around. And I look outside and I see Wally. I hadn't met him yet. Is standing on the other side of my little fence there, just doing this.
With the light shining in
your
eyes.
Just staring at me. And I kind of caught him looking, and I just kind of give my heads up, and he just kind of kept staring at me. I'm like, and he looks like a strange cat. Like, he's got long, he's like a heavy metal dude, but he's the nicest, sweetest guy ever. But And then I had him on a podcast a long time ago, and I said, dude, you creeped me out when I first met you. He's like, yeah, I couldn't even see you. So I thought he could see me, and I was waving at him. But anyway, that's why I wanted to shut the door, because I didn't want him to.
Wally!
Have you had any weird neighbors? Have you ever had, like, terrible neighbors that are like.
Yes.
Or we great had, neighbors?
Yes. Over here. To my right.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So everyone at the home can see where I'm pointing.
Over where? Oh, there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at your phone.
Sure, I see it.
I'm here.
Just people who are listening, look to your left.
Yeah.
Sure. You're right.
There are two, there's a lesbian couple right here. And they argue very loud. Oh, you know, I think about what my dad said earlier.
I think about what your dad said on the podcast the other day. He's like, something these two dykes moved in this store.
Oh, my God.
Their last name is Dyke.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's the real one. And there's
a
couple.
That joke.
That's
and I was
hilarious.
Like, oh, no, Mr. Reed.
You can't call him that. No,
he goes,
no.
Oh, that's their last name?
I was like, oh, Mr.
He's
Reed.
He's like, yeah, they also have a rabbit, so I left some shit on their porch.
Yeah, you have to go back and listen to that story.
Oh, God, that scared the crap out of me.
I knew. That's why I started laughing immediately. Like,
I was like, okay, John's okay with it. I guess I'll be fine with him. What am I going to say?
He'll explain it in a minute. But there are two lesbians over here, a couple, and they get in the loudest arguments. I'm talking. I went back.
You didn't go to my softball game. I didn't know you wanted me to come to your softball game.
Right. And I mean, they were yelling so loud. I heard furniture moving, like they were like going to throw it at each other. I'm surprised cops haven't been called. But that gets annoying sometimes.
Is that the one who I helped move the painting?
No,
the one
that's a neighbor of them.
Oh,
she lives right next to him.
I mean, it's still domestic violence if you hit
a
woman. If a woman hits a woman, right?
I believe it is.
Is it still domestic violence when a man hits a woman?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
It has been.
Well, I apologize.
Well, longer.
It's domestic violence if you're a couple.
Honey, I apologize.
Yeah, but if you're married, you don't have to testify.
If you're married.
If you just hit a woman, that's not domestic. That's just violence.
I thought if you're married, it's not considered that. It's just considered like brother-sister love, almost.
Because now you're acting real Southern right
now. Well, when you're married for so long, you end up. You end up like, and I'm not even joking, sometimes we do this. We don't do it as much anymore because we have a kid now, so we don't want to show us hitting each other. But like when I grew up with my brother and my cousins, we were constantly like, hit me in the arm. Let's see who can hit each other the hardest, punching each other. So sometimes me and my wife get in a little arm punching contest.
Really?
Yes, swear to God.
Well, okay.
Well, they beat the crap out of each other, but in a loving way.
But it's like a joke. It's like, give a little smack, punch,
it's not
things
like
that.
My boyfriend and I call each other dumb.
Well,
like, hey, dummy, what are you doing? Dummy?
If you heard the stuff
I
said to my
right
wife.
In with him.
Yeah. But like, whenever people hear us out, I'm like, oh my God, we have to be quiet because, like, not everybody knows our situation. He's like, go ahead and order with your dumb girl brain, you know? And like, the waiter's like, oh my God. And I'm just like laughing. And he's like, oh, this poor girl.
I can already see, like, when your boyfriend gets up, they're like, ma'am, do you need us to call the
blink if you need help?
I'm like, one day I'm just going to be like, yes.
Cops will show up at Outback Steakhouse. Sir, we're going to have to ask you to stand up.
Not till I'm done with my blooming onions. I'm taking it to go.
You can get a free blooming onion every Monday.
Why wouldn't you complain to the manager?
No, I get emails all the time, like random emails, like Bloomin' Monday, Bloomin'
emails
Tuesday.
Emails from Outback.
He signs up. He's that guy.
No. The funny thing is once you go there, they have your information from your credit card, and they seek it. They can do anything. And I don't go a ton, but me and my wife go there once in a while. And me and John have been there a few times.
I like Outback.
I do too. Actually, out of all the chain restaurants that serve that stuff, they actually have pretty good food there.
So what you're telling me is every Wednesday?
Monday.
No,
it was Monday, and then I just got a thing yesterday saying, we've changed it now, it's Bloomin' Tuesday. And they have Monday crossed out with Tuesdays, and I was like, well goddamn, that's Taco Tuesday, motherfuckers.
Oh, because Monday is probably Monday Night Football, so they're like, no, too many people come in.
What's our weakest day?
And since they were forced to put calories on that, it dropped probably 30% people buying it. It's like, I'll take a Bloomin' Onion. They list calories, 4,980 calories.
It's many calories.
Yeah, a Bloomin' Onion? Yeah. It tastes so good, though.
Oh, God, it's fantastic. I'd like to eat one right now.
Like, how? It's a fried onion.
It's all that breading they put on it. And I guess they're counting the sauce that you dip it in, right?
Yep, it's like ranch or some shit.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, God, Bloomin' Onion.
We're just making everybody hungry right now.
That's true.
Have you ever had a bad neighbor, an awesome neighbor, like most memorable neighbor?
I'm going to have to plead the fifth in case they hear this.
Really?
You're on that good of terms with your neighbors? Didn't
you tell her you have had a neighbor in the past that has sex with the windows open?
Oh, well, it's technically...
Did we talk about that?
Well, see, I'm not as... I blew all my money in Vegas when I made all my money back in the day. So I still live in a fucking apartment complex. But there's an apartment complex next to me where the dude likes to leave his window and blinds open and bang his girlfriend in front of the mirror, the full-length mirror. So me, I just walk in, and all you can hear is the, smacking and, going crazy. And me and my wife sometimes just go in there, and we're like, all right, yeah, guys.
We got a free live porno outside of our window. Right.
But this happens a lot. And then I see the dude walking his dog outside, and I'm just like, huh, yeah, cool,
just
man.
Just saw what you did in there, buddy.
He's got a nice little bulldog.
I won't be shaking your hand.
But, yeah, so that happens all the time. I wouldn't consider that a bad neighbor, but...
yeah.
He's a little crazy, but I've always...
I don't like loud sex neighbors.
No.
No, I don't like loud sex neighbors.
No, because it makes... when I hear that, I've been on a honeymoon type situation. Or just a nice vacation with my wife at the time. And we would hear people next to us banging it out. Mm-hmm. And I'm jealous. We should be doing that. Why aren't we doing that? And I'm like... And she's like, well, maybe later. And so then I get kind of mad.
Maybe
I'm like, no, they're having more fun than us. That cannot be. We're in Hawaii. We should be doing this. Yeah.
Oh, but Hawaii, it's so hot.
Yes.
I don't know. I also never really understand why people make that loud of the noise. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's not necessary.
I think a lot of people get they pick up what they're watching porns and movies and they think they have to be that.
No, I think I've only been with one girl who was actually she screamed and she screamed my name. This is when I first moved to Hollywood and we lived in this apartment. And I remember it was like a Melrose place. Everybody's fucking everybody.
Yeah.
And so I remember we'd go up there and we'd get into it. And then she'd just start screaming my name. And it took everything into me not to just put my hand over her mouth and be like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Everybody can hear
it's
you.
It's like
windows
that
open.
Movie Porky's.
There you go.
Remember that one girl? Did you ever see Porky's, the movie?
Yeah, I think I remember. There was one girl, my dad used to love that movie, so I remember walking in when it was on or something.
Yeah, lots of nudity. And there was one girl, if you got her in the men's locker room area, and she smelled like socks or something. men's stuff. She would scream. She would howl. Yeah. And that girl was also, she later went on to be the chick from Sex and the City.
Roseanne Barr?
The first lady? Oh. I was so many different ways.
Wow, those two opposites of the spectrum, too. That's great.
They're both Trump supporters.
Yes, exactly. Oh, there you go. Sorry.
No, but she was on Sex and the City, the hot one.
Samantha?
Yeah. Was that the hot one?
Yes.
The one that played Mannequin?
Mannequin,
the movie Mannequin? Yeah. So that was her.
Well, she was they were all pretty hot, but she was the highly sexual one.
Yeah. Well, in Mannequin, she was really hot. And Porky's even hotter.
I love the movie Mannequin.
That's the one that would howl.
That's what you're just saying.
Yeah.
Come on, Sarah, listen. Open those ears.
She gets naked in that, too.
Well.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know if I've ever had a really good or... I mean, my neighbor right now, I have a
gay... Oh, yeah, sorry. Hey, Sarah, have you ever had had a good or bad neighbor before?
No, I was the one that started the question, so I figured I'd bring it back. But I have a gaber right now, and he...
Oh, Nelly, that's like calling lesbian dykes now.
Gaber. Gay neighbor.
Gaber.
Yeah.
And he always did casting for commercial, non-union commercials with real people, and that market has started to slow and dry up. So he is
you told us a little bit about this, I remember last time, but you didn't tell us
why
about the bad neighbor thing or anything. But
he's actually awesome because we've had our fights in the beginning to where I live in a duplex, so we share a wall. So our landlord put a fence in the middle of our yard, but then everything's been fine because he's definitely calmed down. I think because the stresses of his job have slowing down, but he comes from a family a real Italian family in St. Louis, and they own an Italian restaurant. So he started making his own limoncello. Maybe I told you. And he just made some blood orange limoncello. Uh-huh. It is literally it, and then he just started making bone broth. Is like super, like just good for you to drink for your soul.
It's got cartilage. Well, it's good for your body. It's got all the cartilage in there.
Yeah, right. It just helps with healing and protein. Yeah, good. It's all the good parts of the meat for your body. And so,
would you go out to eat and they have on the menu sometimes bone marrow?
Yeah.
You ever get that?
I've actually had it before.
That's is it good?
It's not bad. You can, especially you go to a good restaurant, you take it and you put it and spread it on bread.
Don't
and
get it at Outback.
It's like Vegemite.
they don't have it at Outback, but at fancy restaurants they do have it. And It tastes
like a flavorful, you know, like the rim of the steak. It kind of, you know, it tastes like a...
Is it chewy?
No.
It's like a paste?
It's almost like gristly, but like...
It's like gelatinous. It's
gelatinous.
It's not a fat, but it's... I don't know how to explain.
So if you order it and a big bone comes out, you just eat it like in the middle and it's like...
They take the bone, they put it in like a pan and they roast it for an hour or maybe even longer. And then it loosens up all the cartilage inside of the bone and you take in the little small spoon, you take it and smear it on some nice crusty bread and chomp it down. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Have you ever eaten at Lala's?
Argentinian
so goddamn good.
It's been a long time.
Oh, wow.
You got to go there. It's so fantastic.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite places.
There's one here in the valley. Here.
Right. That's the one we go to.
There's one on Melrose that I went to
to that one, but this one here in the valley is really good.
Have you ever ordered sweet bread?
Sweet bread, no.
Okay.
I always used to see that on Top Chef. What is that?
Tell her what sweet bread is.
No.
See, I made the mistake once of ordering it.
Kyle, I said, what is that?
Well, I kind of zoned out, sorry.
I talked over it too.
The woman's talking.
Sweetbreads are the glands of animals. They're absolutely disgusting. I would never try.
The sweat gland, like the tonsils?
I don't know how to, I don't know if animals have tonsils, but...
I'm thinking lymph nodes right now. I don't think that's it. Some sort of glands.
It's glandular things anyway.
It's very chewy.
Every person listening to this is a chef and just yelling at their phone.
Well, like fancy restaurants, because always in fancy restaurants, they're like, hey, let's serve the shittiest part of the animals and charge a fortune for it, and then you're going to like it, which is so stupid because I don't want to eat brains. I don't want to eat sweetbreads. I don't want to eat...
I'm not Japanese. Yeah, I don't... just the regular stuff.
I don't want to eat...
If you don't know what it is and you just see the word sweet bread...
Don't get it.
That sounds amazing, right?
Is this like monkey bread, but savory?
Monkey bread's delicious.
Is this a savory monkey bread?
Okay, the thymus gland, rarely the pancreas of an animal,
gross.
Especially used for food. Okay,
it's like pate, like the liver.
But they batter it up and they fry it up and then serve it like that. And
it's disgusting. I ordered it thinking it was going to be like a bread, like an appetizer, I'm like, I started chewing. I was like, what is this? Well, glands. That's thymus glands from a gullet.
Ugh. Yeah, that's like when people first order menudo. You know what that is, right?
Yes.
It's a tripe soup.
I had all their albums.
Tripe is cow intestine.
Oh.
And it's a very important meal to Mexicans.
Mexican
soup.
I see tripe on Vietnamese menus.
Well, you do?
Like in pho. Like that they have, it's like part
of
the
they do. You can do it in
Koreans
there.
Koreans and...
Yeah, you got to be careful with a lot of stuff. I just eat, can I get the chicken, the faux guy, please? that'll be fine with me. Thank you so much.
What are you talking about?
That's chicken.
The Vietnamese soup.
It's actually pronounced pho.
Pho,
It's spelled pho, which makes you so mad. I'm like,
P-H-O.
If you want to call it pho, spell it like pho. Don't spell it pho.
Is it a lot of noodles?
You've never had pho?
You explain it to her.
So pho is a Vietnamese soup that's like, it takes 8 days to prepare.
I've had fake pho, which is fo-fo. Pho-sho.
Just go
ahead and laugh at that again.
I've had pho shizzle.
Me and Sarah aren't laughing though,
no,
John.
Not at all.
It's not for you. It's for me.
Now they're super popular. When I first moved here, you could really only get it in Orange County.
Oh, really?
And deep in the valley.
Now they're all over.
Now they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, when I lived in Atlanta, huge Vietnamese community in Atlanta. I worked for a Vietnamese doctor called Dr. Lin Duc Nguyen. And I didn't tell you guys this. So Dr. Lin Duc Nguyen. That's how you say it. Lin Duc Nguyen. Dr. Nguyen. You know, he only knew how to say...
he was down for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
So the ladies that worked there were like Cambodian and Vietnamese. Okay. And they used to order it all the time. So they taught me how to eat it. And I just like fell in love with it. So then I moved to LA and I'm like, where is this? You know, it's also the best soup ever for a hangover because it's so salty.
Okay. Or when
so
you're sick, too. It's really good. Yeah,
and spicy, so it holds in all the water in your body.
Okay.
You retain water, so you stay
a
little hydrated. Yeah, but Dr. Nguyen was so funny. Like, because nobody ever knows how to say Nguyen. It's like, because it's spelled N-G-U-Y-E-N.
Right, it looks like,
you're like,
yep.
Nguyen? Yeah. Like, no, right. Not in the South. Like,
are
everybody in the South
Ted
like,
Ted Nguyen? Yeah. Ted Nugent?
So his son, Pete, was one of my best friends in college, Peter Nguyen. And
way to give him the most American first name.
Yeah. And like, so I just would like laugh hysterically every class that we had where they're like the teacher's trying to say their name. But Dr. Nguyen only knew three words. He knew yes, please, and thank you. And he would say them all together. So I'd be like, good morning, Dr. Nguyen. He's like, yes, please, thank you, sir. Like that, all at once. Like no matter what. I'm like, Dr. Nguyen, you have a phone call. Yes, please.
What kind of doctor was he? That he
like a general practitioner.
And he could only, so people are talking to him and they're like, he's like,
oh no, they were all Vietnamese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So all the clients, like none of them really spoke English. So okay. I was like, I had to learn like Vietnamese money so that I could take their.
I'm not joking.
Money.
This could be a fucking TV show.
I did not know
a hardcore Southern girl works in a general practitioners where they only speak Vietnamese, and the guy knows yes, please, and thank you.
Yes, please, thank you.
Yeah.
And Sarah.
And none of them did nails. Like, they all just did. I swear to God, they were just all. I didn't even know Vietnamese people did nails until I moved to LA.
That is so funny.
That's everywhere here.
It was like a whole thing. And you know what? How that all started? This is also
no,
crazy.
Please.
Do I even. Maybe this is boring.
No.
Like. So I guess when during Vietnam when the Mao was in, you know, Cambodia and
Mao Zedong.
Yeah, over, you know, all the people after that war, like the people were devastated and tons of people were without children and women, you know, like there'd be like these villages of people with just like orphan children running around and women laying around, like not doing anything because they're just so depressed and laying around. And they, this one woman that came in to try to help them, like an older lady who had kind of worked for like the higher rankings of the government and she had survived. She started teaching all these women like how to do certain things like sweep, like cook, you know, like things to just take their mind off of all the trauma and tragedy that they had been through. And then she taught them to give manicures and pedicures. And that was because they hadn't touched another human being in a caressing, soft way in so long. And they hadn't been touched in a way that was sincere.
Okay.
Not by a man or a woman or anything. So these women started giving each other manicures and pedicures.
Right.
And that's how they started talking to each other.
Yeah.
And learning to cope and get over.
So it's like it was a healing. Yeah. It's like a healing.
So that
thing.
Started as a healing exercise, and then it just became like this thing that they were good at.
And then what happened was with after the clippings and stuff like that, that's how they first started making pho. They would put the clippings into these soup.
Stop. And you're talking about the nail clippings, and that's not true. Like John is still in it.
No,
he's like,
in
what
my
clipping?
Brain, I forgot that pho was pho.
Sorry. Okay. My apologies.
You know, it's funny. Like I came off the airplane the other day. You know how sometimes they have people waiting with wheelchairs for the elderly people, like right there at the on the bridge, whatever. I came off and I saw a lady holding a sign, and it said Dong Phan, Phan.
That's a popular
name. I'm a Dong fan.
And it took everything in me not to say, you like,
I'm a Dong fan.
You're a Dong fan, huh? All right.
I'll sit. Is that who's saying?
Well, she's standing there holding an iPad saying, Dong fan.
You're like, dibs.
Yep.
Those people must
hate. If
you're
a fan.
They fucking hate white people. Every time we see a name,
oh, this wasn't a white. This
the people who are holding up Dong Phan signs, they're just like, really? You can't get over that, white people?
No. This was not an Asian person holding the sign.
No, it's just the person that works for the airline.
Yeah, this was a lovely African American lady who was very beautiful.
I wanted to say,
hi, Dong Phan. That's me.
If you're a Dong Phan,
I mean, yeah,
I'm your man. You know, before they got there, they were all making that joke before.
Probably.
Yeah, as soon as they printed it out, they're like, Shanine, you ain't not going to believe this.
I'm picking up Dong Fan.
Who? Who are you picking out?
So funny, man.
That's my favorite. Like,
I should have stuck around just to see who it was. And you know. But
did
I was,
you say you should have stuck?
Stuck around. How dare you?
That's like stuckin'.
That's like me saying literally instead of literally.
Yeah, he can't. He cannot say the
I
word.
I say like literally, like Little Italy almost.
He literally. Can't say literally. He literally. Says literally. Literally.
What do you, is there any word that you can't say?
Most
I
of
mean,
them.
Besides hello, goodbye, most of them. I love you. just kidding.
I can't say. I can't
Sarah's,
say,
Sarah's
can't
got
say
the
no.
choppers out. She's getting vicious.
That's what she does.
This is all I do to him. It's like, and he doesn't even realize I'm making fun of him.
Oh, I do. She's in roast mode all the time. She can't stop. I'm going to get another drink. You guys want something?
Yeah. You know what I would really like is a straw.
Oh, that's not really a drink, but we'll get you one. why don't you get me a beer, motherfucker? Please, please, bless your heart.
Yeah.
So it's just me and Sarah now.
Now it's me.
Jonathan,
and
now we can have the
do you
real
think
show.
He's actually a Dong fan.
What's up?
Do you think he's really a Dong fan and he just like doesn't want us to know?
Yes, he really is. So people, I don't know if you know this, but John really is into dongs, and he's definitely a fan of
them. Who do you think his favorite dong is? Dong.
Dong your King. yeah. Dong King's yeah. Dong.
Dong Irera. Dong Irera.
I don't know. I think he's a fan of a lot of dongs. He's a fan of my dong. I know that for sure.
oh, my dong is my manicurist, actually.
Oh, is it really? Oh, my God.
Well, Maya, but her real name is Maya. Yeah. Maya dong.
Maya dong. Hi. What'd you say, John? Hi. Oh.
You want okay. to be a stand-up?
Well, I've been an actor for 20 years, and I don't even remember if we said anything about this last time because we just kind of went off on tangents. Mm-hmm. But so I was good friends with Louis Anderson for quite a long time.
Anybody I've heard of or
Louis Anderson?
I'm just joking.
I know. Hey, I get your
no,
sarcasm,
no,
young lady.
I love him.
Sir Mason's
basket.
Kyle
basket.
Anyway, did you bring me a beer? You, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Two things. You've got a straw and a Coors Light. I think you had too many dongs on your
why
mind.
Why did you take your drink back?
So I was friends with Louis. We don't really keep in touch too much anymore, but I was friends with him for a long time. And so I used to go to stand-up shows a lot, like all the time. He was always doing stuff either in Vegas or he was the headliner at Comedy Store for a long time. And I remember he was like, Kyle, you should give it a go. Maybe he's like, I'll give you a 5-minute set. And I was like, what? I was like, I don't even know how to, what do you,
yeah.
I don't even know how to do stand up. I don't want to do that. He's like, just go ahead. Fuck it. You'll learn. He's like, I just remember I got up and just tried it up and everybody thought I was funny. I was like, that's because you got a gap in your tooth and you got a funny voice. I look like a regular human being. I may have a googly eye because I'm blind in it, but come on now. So I never did it, but I've actually written a lot of jokes, and since I've been in the Hollywood business for so long, I have so many good stories I want to tell, and I feel like I can fast track my way into it because people know me from a lot of shows I've been in. So every time I go to Comedy Store with John or comedy shows, and I get a little drunk, I automatically think I'm going to get up there and do some stand up.
Yeah,
I want to be a stand up.
There's no fast
just
track.
Fuck it. Well, but John said there is a fast track.
Well, I mean, no, there's not really. But what is good is that people will already like you.
See, that's what I'm saying. So I guess I have a little bit of an edge because if you get up there and nobody knows who you are, they're like, who's this fucking idiot? But if I get up and be like, I'm Lil Kev, or I'm the dude from American Horse or Dexter or whatever they be, oh, I know that guy. And then I can just do stupid shit or do my
character. Well, that'll be in your intro.
Right. That's
you don't have to say that
exactly. So I'll have the MC say this so-and-so from here and I'll do that, and so I wrote a bunch of stuff and I've been passing it off on John, but John's always out of the fucking out of town.
To
always
go in front, just in, like get up in an open mic and just say it out loud a few times.
Yeah, absolutely. So right. I became friends with the dude, the owner from Ha Ha Cafe.
Oh yeah.
So I've been doing that, and So I'm going to eventually go and do some open mic nights, but I need John to go ahead and get me down to a 5-minute set. Because I told him my story and there's some funny stuff in there.
Yeah,
but
you got great stories.
I don't
just got to whittle it down.
Yeah, I don't know all the points. Like, I need a beginning, middle, and end. Like, I'm telling John this, and John's like, where's the punchline at?
He goes, check out this stuff I wrote. And he started telling me, I was like, where's the punchline? But that will just happen.
Yeah, you need to just try it.
You just got
to
go up there and throw your shit against the wall.
Tell you, right. You don't need that. You have to just try it and fail. And then try it again, and then do better that time, and then do better the next time.
I don't have that much time, though, so I just want to fast track this shit.
It's like, it's like 10 years every night for the rest, you know? Like, that's what stand-up is.
Yeah. Sarah, what was your first time, and was it scary? I was scary, but like, did
you... Are you talking about stand-up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, I'd like to hear both those.
Well, yes.
No.
And was it hilarious?
First time scary and hilarious because the guy's...
Her first time was on stage.
Expected.
It was weird. There was a crowd of people. It was in Amsterdam.
Yeah. I got paid a lot. I got paid for my first gig.
Jesus Christ.
My first time doing stand-up was at the Ha Ha Cafe. I mean, The Hot Wired Cafe. Nick Youssef.
Where was this located at?
Open mic. It was on Laurel Canyon and Riverside.
Is it not there anymore?
It's not there anymore. Okay. You know where that Starbucks Center is on Laurel Canyon and Riverside, across from the Gelson's.
Yeah.
Yep.
But like, so if you were just ahead east of there, there's like a little house there, and it used to be a coffee shop.
Okay.
And so that was where I went. It was like, I found it in the back of LA Weekly or whatever. And, my friends had all just, you know, kept telling me, and I wrote a joke. And one night when I was like watching the news in my studio apartment that I lived on in like Laurel Canyon and Burbank.
Okay.
And it was $335 a month, my studio apartment. And I was like,
I bet you that place now is so expensive.
Yeah, I was like sweating it out every month, right? but the first joke I ever wrote, this is just true, there's like this guy using a nail gun and in LA here, and the nail, I don't know what he was building, like a tree or whatever. And like, the nail ricocheted off of the thing and it went up into his eye socket, up into his brain.
Okay.
And he didn't feel a thing. He worked the whole day.
What?
So like, finally at the end of the day, like, has to take him to the hospital, and he has this 3.5-inch nail stuck in his head, and like, no one can believe it. And they're like, I can't believe he didn't feel it. I can't believe he didn't feel it. And I was like, well, I wouldn't be able to feel 3.5 inches if I got nailed. So what's the big deal?
Right.
So that was the first joke I ever wrote, and it worked.
Nice.
So that's actually the curse.
That's,
you know, like, because you write a joke that works, finding another joke that works.
Right, and you get tricked into thinking, well, this is easy.
Well, this one.
I got
and
this.
And then, no. Yeah. It, like, beginner's luck.
Yeah,
and so it was quite a while before I think I had another one and another one. And then I started, me and Anthony Jeselnik started at the same time. And so we used to start getting together and write, and we would write stuff. And he was the first person that really told me, like, you have to write about where you're from.
Right.
And that's when I realized that, like,
right.
having a daycare in my high school was different.
Right. Yeah.
And so we wrote this joke that was like, it was always the white girls in my school that got pregnant. It was never the black girls, you know. It was never the Mexican girls, you know, because they weren't allowed in our school. But, you know, it's a great joke. But,
is your stand-up, I've seen a little bit of it. Are you more of a joke teller than a storyteller?
Well, now I am. I think you start out as a stand-up, you start telling jokes, and then... because that's the first trick to learn, is how to write a joke.
Right.
Set up, punch. And I used to practice that. Luckily, somebody told me that early on, and I would sit at the Four Seasons wherever I was working. You know?
Fancy.
Yeah, I worked at the pool Four
there.
Seasons and the Beverly Hills Hotel for like 10 years.
That's awesome.
And I would have to get in. I would get in at 7 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and I would work till 3:30 in the afternoon. I would take a shower at work and then hit the open mics.
Really?
For the rest of the night.
You just keep going every fucking
day. Every day. And when I got there in the morning, I would get into work half an hour early, I would set up the restaurant as quick as I could, and then I would open up USA Today, because on the second page they have that state-by-state blurb.
Yeah.
That would tell you like what happened in every state, like a little tiny. And I would try to write a joke about as many as I could before the first customer came in.
Wow.
And that was so hard. But I ended up like getting jokes out of it, but it just, you know, it just put me in this rhythm, and then some of the jokes I ended up keeping, you know, or molding them into my own act. And then, so I think you start learning to write jokes, and once you write jokes, you can put those jokes together, and that's a bit.
Right.
And because you should be telling a joke every 30 seconds, max.
Should be like a laugh every 30 seconds.
Every 30 seconds, there should be a laugh.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have. So once you write a bit, then you put bits together, and that's a story.
Right.
So, you know, that's how it all starts. So now I think I'm much more of a bit person.
Okay.
I've definitely, my, you know, now I have 7-8 minute jokes.
Right, right. But when you're telling those jokes, you're still getting a laugh every 30 something seconds,
because
you
packed full of 40-50 jokes.
Right.
Yeah. I think I was more story first and then learned how to do jokes later.
That's such a gift, because being able to tell a story. See, I don't feel like I ever had stories to tell.
Right.
I still don't. Like, I'm still like, I don't have anything crazy from childhood. You know?
We've just been talking here for fucking an hour. It's all these stories.
Everybody has a story.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of,
can you deliver it? The only way, if the story resonates, is if the people themselves have kind of lived through that. That's why it's all about getting the right audience. That's why a lot of John's fans, he has to travel to... Well, no, I'm not.
Has to travel.
That's not true.
Has to travel.
Okay,
I guess we'll travel.
See? Now I'm sounding like
I'm going to help you.
I'm sounding like a dick, but I'm just telling you. Like John, he's got a lot of fans out here too, but he travels because
I want a Last Comic Standing in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I think his jokes resonate everywhere. I think, but like you're right. Like it seems like your material has to relate, but people relate. Even if they haven't experienced it, they know what you're talking about. It's like I'm pitching this show right now about the military and like military jokes.
Right.
And originally, like it's a special that's like basically jokes about the troops, not just for them.
Okay.
So everybody does specials for the troops. I'm like, nobody's doing material about them.
Right,
which is like, that's the material that they fucking love.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And at first they're like, well, that's, you know, a real niche. And I'm like, yeah, but that's like 50 million people niche. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, I mean, if you don't want 50 million viewers, a fan, you know, take it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And all they want is fucking jokes.
Yeah.
Because I did a show on Fox a couple years ago called Enlisted, where we made fun of the military.
I loved that show.
Oh, thank you. Bless
Kyle was on it. He was a regular.
I played Private Dobkiss. Been drinking a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was the redneck white rapper guy, basically.
Oh.
And I actually didn't even rap on there, only like one time. I was just
Enlisted?
The dumb redneck, yeah.
No, did you rap on there? Not Enlisted.
Well, I did a rap video for the show.
I think my friend Julia wrote on that.
Really?
Julia Lillis.
Well, what was the other comedian that was on there that
was
you
a
met?
Blonde.
They were all comedians.
No, the girl.
It was Michelle Buteau, Ron Funches. Ron Funches, Honey Funches of Oats.
Yep.
Moranzio Vance.
I'm thinking of the wrong show.
Oh.
I'm thinking of another show, the one that was on Fox.
Was there another?
Was it on Fox?
It was on Fox.
Well, who was like the main, like the good?
Jeff Stoltz.
Okay, yeah.
It's enlisted.
Okay,
it was Jeff Stoltz, Parker Young, and then Chris Lowell, and then me, and Moranzio, Michelle, and Tanya, and more, like all these people. And all of them were comedians. They were all either from like stand-up backgrounds or from improv backgrounds and stuff like that. So
wait, you were going to say something about the military? Like they?
Basically, I didn't even mean to interrupt you. I was just saying we would make jokes about that for them. But we had a military advisor, and he'd be like, I don't know if they like that. And we're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No.
We got together with some of these people. We threw like a party and invited real military people.
Yeah.
And like, we want to hear more of that stuff. It's fucking hilarious. All we do is sit outside or be in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
All we want is jokes, something to break the monotony of sitting out in the fucking desert all the time.
Yes.
I got you right here, buddy. IMDb, Enlisted.
There you go, buddy.
You go down. He's like 1, 2, 3, 4.
I can't believe
right there, look.
I can't believe I didn't even.
I'm the handsome guy in the blue.
Kyle has done so much stuff.
I loved this show.
I have a mustache in that show.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that Buteau was on that.
Yeah, Buteau is on that.
And Maranzio, I love him.
Yeah.
But like...
He came on halfway through. It only lasted one season, unfortunately, because...
it was very funny,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but there's just... That was the thing. Like, when I was pitching the show, I'm like, there's so much red tape in the military. You know, you go to perform over there, and like, you know... You go on one base and they're like, don't say any curse words, right?
Right.
You're like, oh, yeah, of course. It's the military. I better not say anything that they, you know, foul.
Yeah.
Right?
And I don't want to hurt their delicate sensibilities.
A lot of times that's the Air Force, right? And then you go,
oh, because they're a bunch of pussies.
No, there's just but like no, a different, it's a very buttoned up,
right.
You know, like flight. Like everything's super, way more serious in the Air Force because they're dealing with goddamn planes. They're they're flying $50 million planes.
Yeah.
But then you go to the Marines, right? And if you
very similar.
I'm trying to write a bit. You guys should help me about how like what how every branch is like a specific superhero. Like the Army's like Batman because they have the most money.
I don't mean to cut you off again, but in that show Enlisted, the writers did that and they made me a superhero in one of the acts. And I remember I was like helping out. Because we were called the Rear D, the D list, the people who stay home from the Army, who are like all the rejects, and we help out all the people around the base. So I was a super Dobkiss, and I put a cape on me, and I would go around people's houses and fix their cars and meals and stuff like that. And I was like, Super Dobkiss, here to help, and I'd walk away. Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
But no, but like that was your character was a... You mean each branch is its own superhero.
I'm saying that the Army's like Batman because they have... the most money, but they have no real power.
Okay.
You know, and like
the Army Rangers, they would be so mad if you said that.
Yeah, but the Marine, listen.
Okay.
Keep going.
The Marines are like the Hulk, you know what I mean? Because like they're super strong, but super aggro. And like they're always waking up the next day with like their clothes shattered and like, what happened? Yeah. The night before?
They're fucking jarheads.
Yeah.
Keep going. Air Force.
Let's see. The Air Force.
What's the Falcon? Is there a Falcon thing? The Falconeer?
No.
Isn't there like a Falcon stupid hero? Like one of the Avengers is a Falcon?
Oh, the Air Force is like Superman. Because obviously they're known for flying, but really they never report. Because he worked at the newspaper. Superman worked at the newspaper.
Okay, yeah,
and just like Superman working at the newspaper, the Air Force never really has to report. Because they also have like the shortest what is it called when they're
penis. Shortest penises.
No, they're sent overseas. Like whenever they're sent.
Shortest deployment.
Deployment.
Right,
they
have
6 months.
Right.
But the Navy is the one that I can never figure out because the Navy, it's like, you think it would be Aquaman.
Right, that's where my head went.
But then I'm like, you know, then I'm like, well.
How about that dude from The Shape of Water?
I thought Superwoman or Wonder Woman, you know, because they have the coolest outfits. They're pretty. They're pretty feminine, and people also forget that they fly cool ass planes.
Uh huh.
And
you want to?
And they're gay. No, I'm just joking.
there's a semen joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. And like,
well, they're all in a boat. What do you expect them to do? They're trapped on a boat. They're just gonna bang, bang, bang like rabbits.
So if anybody's listening to this and they think of a superhero that the Navy is like, let me know, and I'll do it on the Navy special. And I'll just shout out your name.
What about?
And nobody will know why I said somebody's name. And I'll just know. Me and you will know it was you.
Can they be Big Gay Al from South Park? Hey y'all, let's go for a ride on my big gay boat ride.
The thing about the Navy,
a big gay owl. Yeah, that's a perfect superhero for
them. Navy
superhero
is like,
big gay owl.
Yeah.
The Navy though is so dope. You know what I mean? Like the Navy is like a really, really difficult branch to be involved in. And like every branch is difficult, but like the Navy always
that
gets
one,
shit for
I
being
think
gay.
Would scare me more.
The Navy, but they're like...
If I had to join one of those branches?
They did this whole story on This American Life about, you know, those boats that have crashed in the and killed, you know, different troops.
Submarines?
There have just been like the warships.
U-boats?
Know?
Just like would randomly crash?
Yeah, and like, or just crash into another boat.
I love getting on her nerves already. I just keep saying stupid shit.
Yeah. I'm like,
you
that's incorrect.
Asshole.
Incorrect.
That's what
the military is. I was like, incorrect.
Yes,
incorrect. My uncle's a 2-star general, so I know a lot about shit. Right.
Well, my whole family was in the military except for me.
There's a hero right there.
Because I got beat up and I'm blind in my eyes, so I couldn't join.
That's right.
True
that's
story.
True. Yeah. The American Disabilities Act does not go into the military.
They really don't let you join if you have any ailments.
No, yeah, yeah.
That's why supposedly Donald Trump didn't join.
Oh. I almost joined. Because
he has a flat foot or something.
Well, that makes sense, though. You don't want somebody with Parkinson's shooting a gun.
And small hands. Small fat fingers and stuff like that.
I'm not saying Donald Trump has Parkinson's.
He would hold the gun. He just couldn't hold the gun. His hands were too tiny.
If you got Parkinson's, be my bartender. You know what I mean? Shake, give me a martini.
Sorry, I cut you off. Oh, I just got it. Bang again.
Bang.
Remember when Michael J. Fox had that new show coming out? Oh, and I was like, we were all working on the burn then, and we wanted it to be called Shaking Bad so bad.
Shaking Bad.
I feel so bad about saying stuff
he
like that.
He should do a Shake and Bake commercial. Shake and Bake.
Michael J. Fox has the most sense of humor about having Parkinson's.
He does it all the time. He makes fun of it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fine.
And by the way, like a lot of comics who ended up with Parkinson's, like, killed themselves.
Right.
And he's living with it, and he's, like, a pioneer, so...
He did lots of coke.
I'm one of those people, like, I'm down to make fun of things, but
Parkinson's comes from coke as well. It's not just genetic.
I think you might be
right. Oh, Nelly, I'm fucked. I always feel...
You got into fighting.
I always feel that if I make fun of people with disabilities, that it's going to happen to me for some reason. So I never do that, and yet my... most famous character is a retarded rapper, and I don't say the R word a lot as
except
I just said
now.
Right now, but I always feel like if you make fun of somebody in a wheelchair, you're going to end up being paralyzed.
Well, it's okay if they already do it,
right? And there's
that's what I think. You know, like Michael J. Fox, he already makes fun
of
himself.
They have a sense of humor about
it, and you know, if that's what you do, if you're like writing a roast joke, I mean, you got to do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely,
I've gotten in enough trouble lately about jokes.
Oh, God.
I got in trouble with NASCAR the other.
You know. Did?
Oh, I gotta hear this.
You heard about?
I want
to.
Can you tell me about
I don't
it
know what
though,
you're
please?
About.
Well, yeah, I'm not really technically.
How long have we been going for?
How much more longer can you go?
I mean, whatever. Well, okay. Yeah, I guess I should leave soon, but like,
that's what she said.
We're at an hour. Okay.
You just, it didn't matter what I was going to say. Yeah. You had that joke ready.
And she physically did just say that. That is exactly right. She did just
I'm
say
basically
that.
Steve Carell. I don't know what to tell you.
NASCAR joke. What'd you do?
Well, they brought me on NASCAR Race Hub on FS1 to like roast a bunch of the young racers, young up and coming racers, because they're trying to get like, you know, more hip and involved in. So, you know,
so
I go on as me, you know, it's fucking me. The roastest with the mostest. Like, obviously you get what you pay for, which they paid zero. Right. But I still like wrote a bunch of really funny jokes, I thought. But I made some jokes about Daniel Suarez, who is the Mexican driver. He's from Mexico, he's born in Mexico. And I made a joke that, you know, I was doing superlatives, and so his superlative was least likely to hit a wall or get close to any wall now that Trump is president.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's a joke about
Trump,
first
joke.
Of all.
Yeah.
And then, but then.
Oh, here we go.
I said, I'm just happy he's driving with insurance. And people got very upset. And
because Mexicans can't afford insurance, whatever. Like just all illegal immigrants without
it's
insurance.
It's just stereotypes. It's like
yeah.
And first of all, stereotypes are funny because they're not facts.
Uh huh.
If you act like they're facts, you're the problem.
Right.
I'm making fun of them because they're ridiculously untrue. They're based on facts, but they're
not facts. A lot of them
are,
but you're pointing out the ridiculousness
of
it.
I'm pointing out how ridiculous they are. Yeah. So is some guy, some white guy on Yahoo wrote an article calling me racist and Fox racist, so Fox had to take the video down, apologize to NASCAR.
I didn't know this.
And by the way, Bubba Wallace is on the show laughing his tail off, right? Jeff Gordon almost peed his pants.
Uh-huh.
You know Jeff Gordon is like...
clean cut, fucking
so
American.
Doesn't laugh at anything, you know? He might giggle, you know? But he is like all American, you know? And
rainbow.
I'm like... they got mad at that. I can't tell you the jokes that I had written down that I did not say.
So
Jeff
Fox
Gordon looks
porn.
Like he has sex with his socks on. You know what I mean? Like,
it's always the white people who fucking ruin everything.
100%, dude.
White people love to get offended.
Yeah.
And people have to remember that just because you're offended doesn't mean you have an opinion. That's another thing. And also, when you act offended on behalf of another race, you're acting as if that race does not have the ability to defend themselves.
Right, which is more racist.
Which is extremely racist.
Yeah. It's narcissistic
like,
and racist.
Yeah. Yes.
Where, yeah. When did this come, though? Because it seemed like in the past 15 years, it started everybody, anything you say, everybody's offended by it.
Yeah.
Anything.
Oh, I get attacked on Twitter by people, my own people. Uh-huh. People who I follow because we're on the same page, you know, when it comes to politics or social politics or whatever. And then I say, like, I'm going to watch Roseanne because I grew up on it. And they're like, fuck you. You hate transgenders. And I'm like, what are you talking
God
about?
Almighty.
Nobody said anything. I'm just excited about the show. Becky and I were the same age growing up. I learned everything on that show. Like,
I think, like, it's going to turn out awful, though.
It's
people are just so sensitive, and they're so ready to be offended. Oh, and that is what is bothering me. It's like, and
I don't even think they're offended.
No, they're not.
I think they're doing
it. They just want to just stir the pot and just, like, point out, like, a hypocrisy in someone.
They like to be,
that they think is hypocrite.
They like to feel like they're somebody's hero. Yeah. They like to feel like they're better than, that they're not the problem.
Right.
When they're creating the problem. But also, people get offended because they're worried someone's going to think that they're not. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. It totally,
like,
does.
They're worried someone's going to be like, why aren't you upset at that?
That's the best thing I've ever heard explained that way.
Yeah.
It is so fucking true.
I'm going to say, I'm on record saying I think this is racist.
So that way they won't know, they'll think that I'm not racist, even though I really am racist, because everybody has a racist thing that they say. But that's true, though.
But the thing is, you're not, like,
it's not even necessarily racist.
The essence of friendship is if I can make fun of you and you can make fun of me and nobody's upset. That's the essence of friendship. And so, I mean, I'm literally talking with Bubba. I don't want to say anything about, like, because Bubba Wallace is, like, the first African-American driver in a long time.
There's a great documentary about him.
He's so funny. He drives for Richard Petty. He's amazing. He has this great sense of humor. We talked about all kinds of jokes before the show. I ran my jokes by him. He loved this joke that I had about him, about how he's never won a race because he's going to get pulled over after the third one. He's like, that joke is so fucking funny, but my mom will kill you if you say that. And I was like, all due respect, you know?
Yeah.
And Daniel Suarez did not get that same thing. Yeah. But neither did the other seven drivers that I made fun of for being super white or virgin or dumb. You know? So, like,
so we can't ever watch this video now because they fucking took it down?
Yeah. And it was by far one of the best things I've ever done on TV.
What? All of it's gone, or just that one joke?
No, all of it.
God damn it. You don't have a copy yourself?
No, and I wouldn't put it back up, but, like,
just curious.
But I will just still say the joke's on stage.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Nothing. You can't stop.
Yeah. But that's said, you know, like, but that really is true. What I was saying is, like, I feel like in my shows too, because I'll say things, you know, like, people just assume when you're Southern, like, our own stereotype is being dumb and racist, right?
Yeah, right? Of course. Right.
Like, people assume my friends and family back home are just walking around saying the N-word all day, which is ridiculous because normally they're shouting it. You know? And that's a joke because that's not true.
Exactly.
Obviously, it's a stereotype that is not
true. But unfortunately, we're playing into what they think.
Obnoxiously over the top.
Right.
Which is exactly what I do with everybody else. Mm-hmm. But somehow when I do it about, so, but people won't laugh because they're afraid that if a black person sees them laughing, then that black person will yell at them.
Right.
And why are they afraid of being yelled at? Because they don't know shit about black people and they don't believe they can defend themselves in that argument. And I know I can defend myself.
That's the core of
all of it. That's the core of everything.
John, Sarah, I have a question for you. So, and this happened a couple times.
I've had this argument with Oprah in my head like 80 times.
Oh my God. I think Oprah would stick up for you, by the way.
Oh, I think she would.
So I have a question. So I do a lot of karaoke because I love karaoke, and I do a lot of rap karaoke, and a lot of rap songs have the N-word in them.
Yep.
And so I had to make a conscious decision. So I'm at this place that's no longer there called Sardo's, and there was
it's not there anymore.
No, unfortunately, it's got torn down. They had porn star karaoke. Fucking best.
What?
Gone.
Did you ever hear about that?
I love Sardo's. No, I didn't hear about the porn star part, but
every Tuesday.
Sad and hilarious.
Taco porn star karaoke. Anywho,
pink taco porn.
I was singing a song. I think it was by
N.W.A.
I don't even remember. Anywho, I was singing the song.
NASCAR
with there was two black dudes right in the front audience, and I knew the song had the N-word in it.
And you knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming. And I didn't know what to do because I was like, do I censor myself? Because I'm not saying it to be racist. I'm saying it because it's part of the song.
And if you censor yourself, it's almost like saying I am racist.
And then I thought the same thing. And I was like, if I say I'm like rapping, I'm like, yeah, and this and that, then they would be like more offended because they're like, oh, because. So I was like, split second, I said, you know what? I'm just gonna fucking say it because I'm because I'm not directing it towards them or anybody like that. So I didn't really look, but I could tell that they like were aghast. But then they're like, "Yeah, dude, yeah,
guess, yeah."
Yeah,
like maybe that's if you're good as a rapper, well, I am pretty good. But, okay, yeah.
But I didn't know what to say though or what to do because
wow,
you get put in that situation.
I think.
And I have no idea what to do.
I think it's different for everybody. Like, it depends on your own comfort level, whatever. That's very brave.
The only reason I brought that up, because I just read in the news today, these students just got in trouble today for saying an N-word in a song that was a song that was like this thing by Chris Brown and some other guy. Uh-huh. I'm not really familiar with the new rap
people.
What do
you mean they got in trouble for saying it? Like,
it was this all-girls softball or basketball team, and they were singing a song, and they uploaded it to YouTube, and they're singing along with the song, and they say the N-word,
right.
And now they're getting all in trouble, and they're probably going to get suspended.
Only because it's on social media.
Because they're saying the N-word along with the song.
Right.
Are they all white?
Yes.
Okay.
That doesn't.
No, I mean, still, not agreeing with you.
The
I'm
fact
just,
that you said they're all white, that's what happens though. People are like, well, they're all white. They must be racist because they sang that song.
No. I mean, I can. But I understand. Like, I can understand the. You know, like where it's all.
I can understand that too, but then
I'm not saying that the outrage is correct.
No, they're not valid in their outrage, but that's what it is.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
if it were all black softball team, no one would. You wouldn't even know about it.
Well, of course not.
Of course not.
Because they're I don't know.
It's their word.
Just the whole thing is.
Well, if they're an all-white athletic team of any kind, they can't be that good.
They can't be that good. Right.
Well, especially if they're girls.
Couple of dykes that live next door.
See, you guys can't see me. I'm pointing to Sarah, joking. I'm not really meaning this, so don't get offended by what we're saying.
I mean, I think it's like, I don't know if I definitely could have said it, but also can't rap.
I mean, that's why I don't watch WNBA.
Yeah,
because
I don't ever say it in a country song when it comes up, you know? I never sing it.
Oh, Nelly. Well, the only person who does that is Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah.
AKA, what's his name?
Does he
Darius
say that?
Darius Rucker.
There you go. That's kind of racist in itself.
The N-word,
no,
he
doesn't.
Oh. I was racking my brain.
Come on, you gullible motherfucker. By the way, sorry. John's
racking
wearing...
Racking your brain through Darius Rucker.
All
like,
of Darius Rucker's
Could you
music.
Imagine him performing at the old Opry House? And
hold
he's like,
oh, my
N-word hand.
Lord.
One side is white, one side is black. Hold my N-word hand. I can't say it.
I can't say it either.
I can't.
But I also can't say the P word. I don't like the B word, the B-I-T-C-A. I don't say that word. There's lots of words that
serious?
I don't say. Yeah.
So wait, you don't say pussy or bitch?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
I just don't.
Do you say the word moist?
Oh, yeah.
I say moist.
Moist.
Like the French version.
When a lot of girls, and maybe you can explain this before we wrap this up. Why do girls not like the word moist?
It's very visceral, and it just sounds vulgar, especially coming out of a man's mouth, especially why? Yours with a mustache.
I kind of have like a full beard going on.
Yeah.
Though,
yeah, I don't know. They're just like something. There's just some words where you're like,
I feel like, but if you're just like, oh, God.
What
like,
if you're talking about a sponge?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
not
well,
like
not even sponge, but like a cinnamon roll, like, oh my God, that like it was so moist inside and like it was buttery.
I don't
and
find that wrong.
Okay, but, so in sexual context, it's not good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't walk
if you're
around.
Like, she was so, yeah. You know.
No, I don't know any guy like, who goes like, oh my God.
First off, I've never.
We were so hot and heavy, yeah. She was so moist.
I've never
heard. One guy's ever said that.
Never heard a guy say that. They say wet.
Wet.
Come on, no.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't know. Moist
we're,
is.
I think we're. I think wet. We're.
Yeah. That's what my boyfriend says when he shoots three-pointers. Wet. Like splash, you know, like
splash.
Like,
wet. I'm gonna say moist from now on.
Moist.
No, I remember what's his face said. Rain dance.
Rain dance. No, that was
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yep. From
Rest in Peace.
What movie?
The one with Ben Stiller.
And it's called.
Don't know.
Hoosiers.
Nope.
You gullible motherfucker.
yeah, there's just certain words. I mean, there's, you know, and that's just my own preference. I think whatever your preference is, whatever you're comfortable saying out loud, that's up to you.
Yeah.
Whatever you're comfortable
with. And what you're comfortable, whatever, if you're comfortable with whatever backlash might come.
Yeah.
Now, if you're cool with
it, then. You have to be okay with whatever comes with the territory. Like, just like, you know, when I make those kinds of jokes, I'm confident saying those jokes. You know, I apologize that people got offended, but I'm not apologizing for writing that joke. And I'm not apologizing for saying it.
We think
joke
first. joke first.
Yeah, I'm like,
the laugh
funny?
Is more important than anything.
Yeah. I don't
now,
feel that
could
you should.
I have written a smarter joke that wasn't based just on Mexico? Like, I don't know. That was just like the easiest thing. And that was maybe different than all the other people. That like,
it's
it like
joke.
It made him more fun to write about because it's it was a different joke. Angle. Like when you're roasting somebody, you find one thing about that person and you just kind of like twist at it. Like there was a guy who's
that's
like.
That's why it's called a roast, people.
Yeah, well, you know, but also at a roast, they get a rebuttal.
Yeah.
So it's technically not a roast if he doesn't get to say anything back.
Okay.
It's not fair.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a one-sided roast.
And he didn't get to say anything back.
No.
Right. Because was
he
even
wasn't there? No,
wasn't
there.
But technically, he could refer back to the joke. He could refer back to your first joke about the 3-inch thing. See, now I'm being racist. Because he has.
But he couldn't because he wasn't there.
But he could after he didn't.
After it never airs on television.
Yes. Yes. He was deported. That's why he wasn't there. No, I'm just kidding.
I was actually talking about the black guy.
I did a roast for a Speed Network one time. And it was for Denny Hamlin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was Budweiser's.
Not like methamphetamines.
No, that's a different
bless
network.
Your heart.
That
bless
one's
your heart.
Canceled.
Yeah. All I was
that
thinking
one's
about
real
was,
late at night.
Was me chopping up the stuff in my bathroom, snorting it, and I didn't understand it.
Speed, which is now a Fox Sports One,
right?
Had a roast for Denny Hamlin, NASCAR driver, blah, blah, blah.
I like him.
I was one of the guys who roasted on the dais, and Earthquake was another one.
Oh, God.
Jeremy Hotz was the host of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Very bizarre.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. You can find this. But so I'm writing jokes as you would do for everyone, not just Denny Hamlin, right? Mm-hmm. And I knew that they're all going to come at me as well for Hemi stuff and redneck, blah, blah, blah. And I had one joke I was going to do about Earthquake, and I was really nervous about it because, you know, he's the only black guy up there
at
a NASCAR roast.
Right.
And how do you ignore that?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. So you shouldn't.
Exactly.
No.
So like you, I may have gotten in trouble for this a little bit, but Earthquake laughed his ass off at it, so I know it's fine. So I said, blah, 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 and Earthquake is here. I don't know why they call him Earthquake. He looks like a mudslide.
That's a great joke.
Big laugh.
You want to write jokes.
But the white people are the ones that are the most nervous about it.
Of course.
Of course, yeah.
He loved it.
Because they're afraid, again, that if they laugh and he
then
says,
they look racist.
Why were you laughing?
Right.
They don't know what to say.
Right.
Whereas if he said that to me, I'd be like, because it was funny.
Yeah.
Do you not realize that you're black? I don't think that's different.
I think people,
you know, when people say, like, I'm colorblind, I don't see color, I'm like, fuck you, man.
Bullshit.
I like that we're all different. I like, you know, I don't like that we're judged based on it, you know. I don't want it to be a precursor based. But, you know, I think just as a woman growing up, and I grew up poor, you know, like, I just feel like I had to fight so hard for everything, and not that in any way resembles the struggles that black people have had at all. But I just feel like I like being a woman. I like being different. I like the world at odds against me. I like having to fight harder. I'm not saying that anybody else would like that.
Yeah.
But I just think it's beautiful that we all look different, and especially when we start having babies that are mixed and like how beautiful they are. Like,
yeah.
I just think it's awesome. I think we should celebrate our differences instead of being so afraid of them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bless your heart.
I don't know how you end a better podcast. That's words to live by.
Fried Brinkin' Buddies.
Boom. Man,
we're so political.
We are deep, racial. deep fried.
Deep, yeah.
So stereotypical Brinkin' talk. You know? When you do drink, you just, we like,
I really, well,
you always get into like
honestly,
weird political debates.
Yeah.
And
for
shit.
Me, I'm already on, I had like 2 double vodkas and a beer, so I'm fucked up.
Yeah. Kyle's in his
concert.
Zone right now.
Yeah.
You
which I should go.
Seem. No, you're
fine.
Not. I know you're not drunk, but
no, I've only had like half.
But you're definitely comfortable.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that.
Now.
I like that. Well, there's the recliner mostly.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
So, for Sarah Tiana and Kyle Shea Donkey Davis, my name is John Reap. You were just listening to the Deep Fried Brink and Duddy podcast for your earbuds. Any last plugs?
I always say this. I love you.
Kyle loves you.
So does Sarah. And the radio up, I like to see the sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of my precious child. No mother's
drink ain't enough, Jack, you better make it three. Gonna get drunk, I'm gonna make it real clear. I want one bourbon, one scotch,